Hi, I'm Nancy Dufresne. Welcome to our podcast channel. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
All glory to God. Say it with me, friends. Thank God for the presence of God. Thank God for the goodness of God. Thank God for the glory of God. Amen. Find a couple people and say, thank God for you. Hallelujah. You better stop or I'll go on all day. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you one thing I've never regretted. I've never regretted one moment in the presence of God. I've never regretted one time worshiping Him. And I'll tell you this, I've learned this. I refuse to pass up the opportunity. If the opportunity's there, I'm all in. You know, that doesn't mean we swing from whatever we have here. You know, I mean, every service or anything like that. But we're just always all in. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. That's our only. We only know 10. We don't know half-hearted. We don't know lukewarm. We don't live there. No. Glory to God. Well, so glad to be with you in the crusade meeting this morning. I mean, the meetings so far for me, and I really do care most about me. I come to receive. I come to receive, and I'm telling you, for me, these meetings have been so precious already. I've gone back, just like others have. I've listened to what's already happened, and aren't we glad for that technology, you know? But there's more, and that's the thing with God, that you never get to where he's like, I'm kind of out. No, there's always more with Him, and it will eternally be so that there will always be more in the ages to come. The Bible says He'll be revealing the riches of His grace and goodness to us, and so 40,000 years from now, if we still measure time like that, you'll be thinking, man, we know so much more of God than we did on earth. And then He'll say, have I shown you this? You're like, oh, what? And so we're excited for all that He has for us, because the more of His truth we know, the more of His freedom we experience, because the truth makes you free. We can walk in more. We can be more victorious. Amen. We can walk in greater degrees of our righteousness. Amen. Amen. And we've been blessed hearing that so far. I'm going to ask my wife to come and kind of get her bearings this morning and whatever it is. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited about this.
Get my bearings. Isn't that fun to get your bearings in front of everybody else? Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you want to get your bearings in your closet, what you're going to wear during the day or something like that. But no, when it comes to preaching, sometimes, praise the Lord, you get to get your bearings in front of everyone. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing with God and with the people of God. If we're all hungry, if we've all come to hear from Him and not from a person, then we'll all be able to receive. And we'll get the highest flow. Amen? Amen. So turn with me this morning just at the verse we were looking at yesterday in James chapter 5. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm going to have to turn to it. You know, I was thinking this morning as I was trying to put stuff together and realizing I wasn't as organized as I would like to be. Like, my natural person is not as organized as my brain would think. You know, like, I like to think of myself as an organized person, but when it comes down to it, I laugh at myself sometimes, and I was thinking of Sister Gloria Copeland when she would do her healing meetings in their big crusades. She would always take Saturday and do her healing school, right? And I don't know if you ever, I never got to go to one of those in person, but it was so fun to watch those videos because she came with stacks of books. Yeah, the usher would, I mean, stacks of books. Thank God for iPads. I mean, I still have stacks of books. You just can't see them. They're all in one spot now. But it reminded me of that. It was so, her, because she would literally, I mean, she didn't care. She'd take 10 minutes to find her next spot. Had all the time in the world. Didn't matter, you know, and Brother Copeland, when he ministers, even if it's live television, he doesn't care. If he wants to tell a story, he's going to tell the whole story. Praise the Lord. You know what? And we can receive from those stories. We can receive from these men and women of God who've gone before us and helped us learn these principles. Praise God. So we're thankful for everything that God has for us. Hallelujah. So James chapter 5, we were looking at this specific passage really about prayer. It's quite an interesting, and wasn't that great to hear about Brother James yesterday? Old camel knees, James the Just, praise the Lord. A man who was fervent about his mission, serious about his mission. And it's interesting to me, I mean, I love the book of James. I could camp in James chapter 1 for weeks when we go to minister at our church. And just, you know, we are to be hearers of the word and not doers only. Sorry, excuse me. Doers of the word, not hearers only. Wow. Told you, we're getting our bearings. But it's interesting to me that for all the emphasis that James has in the first few chapters about our words, about being doers of the word, about our works, you know. Yeah, faith without works is dead. You know, he hit some pretty serious subjects. He finishes the book up talking about prayer. And he tells us in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Praise God. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. Now, of course, in the Amplified, that is also amazing, that last part of verse 16, it just says to us, it says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, dynamic in its working. So whenever I look at this verse, the word that sticks out to me the most is effective. If there's anything you do in life, you want it to be effective. And I'm going to make a statement that might be shocking to you, but the devil really doesn't care if you pray for hours and hours a day, as long as you're ineffective. Ineffective. As long as you're just on the treadmill going nowhere. Right? Spinning your wheels in the hamster gerbil thing, right? As long as you're not actually making a connection that helps produce the power. we're not the power plant. It's not our power. But a righteous man, and my goodness, didn't we hear some amazing stuff yesterday? I think those two messages, morning and night, should just go back to back, right? With her name on it, yes. Both services, that's right. Both services. It was all her. Praise God. Actually, it was. Praise the Lord. But knowing who we are in Christ, knowing who He's made us to be, allows us to no longer just live a natural, low-level, normal life. You know, some people just live for normal. Their life is so crazy. Their life is so messed up. And when somebody first gets born again and comes to the church, you know, they're just happy for normal. Just give me peace. Just give me something, a place I can go where there isn't fireworks going on, you know, where there isn't, you know, people aren't ripping each other's heads off and you know, where there isn't just chaos all the time. So I understand when we first get born again, normal's great, right? Just land me in a place that's, the presence of God. Wow. That's awesome. But from that point, we are to mature and to grow, and we are to become effective, an effective laborer in the kingdom of God, working together with Him. With Him. And as we understand who we are and our righteousness and our ability to come boldly into the throne, we are able to partake and be effective with God in a way that is so wonderful. It's so precious that the Creator of the world, not just the world, the universe, would ask us, His creation, to participate with Him. And Pastor Nancy said it last night, his desire is fellowship with us. You know, it's a blessing when you have little kids, but when they grow up and they start assisting you and moving with you and doing life with you, wow, that's a different degree of another level of fellowship. When your family falls in and you're all moving in a certain direction for a certain purpose. And that's God's heart. Not to just do things Himself, but to work with us, have us work with Him. Effectual, fervent prayer, it's this idea that we can come to Him and say, Father, who are we going to pray for today? Where do we need the most effect? Praise God. Hallelujah. But many of us, you know, as we've just said, when you first get saved, normal's good. Just being able to get in the presence of God, just being able to get out of the rat race and into His presence is wonderful. But we can sometimes get this idea that we have to earn our way or work our way or study our way into Him and into being effective in prayer. And yes, we need more knowledge of the Word. That's always going to be part of our walk with Him, is learning and gaining more knowledge. The more we know, the further we can go. And so that is a part of it. But I was raised in Western New York, in the south towns of Buffalo, New York. You all in California don't know much about this word called snow. But I lived it. I grew up there. We live in Colorado now. We actually had to plow our driveway in order to get out to go to the airport on Monday morning. So we still have, we still live in a spot where there's a lot of snow. But in Western New York, I grew up there. I grew up in Buffalo, lived in the same house most of my whole life. My dad was a high school teacher. And my mom, for a long time, stayed home with us. So we did some vacations over the summer months, but we didn't go very far. Canada was our big, woo! Yeah, our big adventure. And, of course, it was only 45 minutes to Canada. But, I mean, we would go camping, we would do things, but it was always in the summer months where it was warm and nice. And as a kid, I would see my friends, they would leave during spring break or Christmas break, and they would go somewhere like Florida. And they would come back and they looked different. They were tan, they were smiling, they had had some fun, they went to see Mickey Mouse. You know, they looked different. And then, I would be at home, you know, in the cold, and you'd turn on TV, and you'd see people, and they'd say, "We're in Hawaii, and we're having a surfing competition." And you're like, "Oh, wow, looks warm. Looks nice." But part of my brain didn't actually believe that it could be real. Like, maybe they're not really there right now. Maybe this was filmed in the summer when it actually gets warm and they're just showing it right now. Maybe somehow, you know, it was really difficult because I had never been there myself. It was very difficult for me to comprehend and realize the reality that it could possibly be 20 degrees with 2 feet of snow outside, but somewhere else in the world, it was beautiful and warm. Not that snow isn't beautiful. It's pretty. It's pretty. It's just cold. It's just cold. And so for me, I don't want to say we never went anywhere. We had a great, I had a great upbringing. My parents were wonderful, and we didn't travel in the winter time because it's just not wise in Buffalo to do so. And so when I finally, I went to college, I got married, I was actually, we heard stories about the group that my husband was traveling with yesterday, and Brother Steve, and Bubba, yeah, our truck drivers, glory to God. Well, once we got married, I joined him on the road, and started traveling with him, and 25 other people on a bus. We had no home, we lived on a bus, praise the Lord. So that was a fun way to get your newlywed experience. Praise God. But it came to Christmas time, and they asked me, I had graduated from a music school, but I had graduated being classically trained, meaning most people just don't understand that opera, you know, a little different than what we would call Christian contemporary pop music. So I didn't directly go up on stage with them after graduation. But at Christmas time, they needed some extra help in the vocal line. So the director asked me to come help. And so we were in Palm Beach, Florida. And it was an outdoor concert in December. And I'm standing on stage in long black velvet with sequins everywhere. And my hair is, you know, it was early 90s, so hair was... And I'm singing about dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, looking at palm trees with little Christmas lights blowing gently and the breezes going through my hair on a lovely December evening in Florida. And while I'm singing, it's like so surreal to me. And I'm realizing it is actually real. It can be warm in places in December. I mean, I'm like 23 years old by now, 24 years old. And I'm just starting to realize that it's actually true. Yes. That you can experience a different reality than I had grown up in my entire life. And even though I had seen it on TV and my other friends had experienced it and came back looking different, I personally had never been there, so I didn't believe it was real. And many of us experience, our walk with God is very much like that, meaning we believe our pastor can go to the throne room and talk to God. We believe people who have been saved for a decade or two, they're able to cooperate with God in prayer. They're able to get in the spirit realm and move and do things. But us, we've heard about it, but we're not so sure it's actually real. We're not so sure we're actually invited. And that's why what we heard yesterday is so vital. Because here's the thing, guys. God needs every one of us. He needs all of us, young, old, in between. He needs us all in cooperation with Him, being effective for His plan. And because He's made us all righteous, we all can. We all can enter in and partake and be a co-laborer with Him. We can work and partake, and we can the righteous prayers of us can make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. We can make an effect. And that's why we come together in times like this, in weeks like this, so we can all learn and grow and move together. Amen. Praise the Lord. When our pastor calls for a prayer meeting, we want to be there. We want to go there, because when people have had more experience in the realm of the Spirit, they can take you with them and show you around. But only if you'll go. And you might say, well, I'm here. No, I mean, when we go to pray, we all participate. We all enter in. We don't have this mentality, well, I'm just going to watch them and listen to them because they know. Listen, I never knew that it could be warm somewhere else until I went. I had to go. Get on the bus. Yeah, I had to be willing to go there. And you might think, well, how crazy is that? Who wouldn't be willing to go to Florida in December? Well, I had no opportunity as a young one, but we have opportunity to go into the realm of the Spirit. We have opportunity to cooperate with him and make power available. Praise God. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. It's a verse we look at often during these meetings. Philippians chapter 1. What are we doing with him in our time of prayer? Well, we're fellowshipping with him. We understand there's all different types of prayer. But this particular prayer, we're talking about this prayer of a righteous person that makes tremendous power available. Well, this is a cooperation. This is an entering into the throne room of God, working with him, yielding to him, and allowing him to work through you. Him to help direct us in what needs to be done. And one of the great things that happens is in Philippians, I've got to get there, praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. We'll just look at verse 19. It's Paul who's saying, he was talking about in chapter 1, he's talking about the fact that he's in prison, that he's in chains, and that he's needing the help of the Philippian church. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer? Yes. Wait a minute, didn't Paul know how to pray? I mean, he wrote down some of his prayers for us in Ephesians, in Philippians, in Colossians. He actually wrote down some of the prayers that he prayed for the different churches. It's not that he didn't know how to pray. It was he was inviting the church to participate with him and with God to make power available. In other words, Paul was like, "This isn't just my job, guys. We're all in this together. We need everybody cooperating." And when we participate and we make this, when we add our prayers to this, it's going to create a supply of the Spirit. A supply of the Spirit. I don't know about you, I like a good supply in my pantry. I have a Costco card, I have a Sam's card. There's only two of us at home, and most of the time we're not there. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I still want a supply. I want to open up that pantry and see it stocked. Glory to God. It's bothersome to me if I have to stop and go to the grocery store at an inopportune time. Right? I want it fully stocked. And that's what Paul was saying. Guys, your prayers, they create a spiritual supply that any of us that need it can go partake of when the time comes up. We can supply, stock our own lives years in advance in prayer. In prayer, we can create a supply of the Spirit. And there's been times where we're going through just doing what we do and doing what we're called to do with God, and we'll get to a point and I start to sense, something seems hard instead of easy. Something seems difficult, and I realize, oh, I haven't been praying these things out. And it's almost like you get to the end of the prayer supply, and now all of a sudden you're trying to do ministry, life, raise your kids, on your own strength? I don't like that feeling. I like the supply of the Spirit. Praise God. And we can make these things effective in our lives. We can stock the shelves of our lives. We can stock our pantry, so to speak. We can get everything we need packed in there through our prayer life. And this is because life happens. People can do some very interesting things out there. Family members can make some very interesting decisions. We're not supplying so that we'll never have to use it, so life will be just so easy and light and wonderful. It's because we're going to come up to situations, to circumstances. If family members won't do it, the enemy will see to it, right? That there's going to be something that's going to try and trip you up and to have you fall and bump your head, and you need a supply of the Spirit so that when that situation comes up, you can just reach in the pantry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And pull out your victory and know exactly what you're doing and where you're just going to walk right through that. Praise God. A supply of the Spirit is made available when we yield to the Spirit in prayer. Praise the Lord. And when it comes to our own life, we should be doing this. We should be yielding to the Spirit. We should be praying things out. Is like the one of the phrases we like to say. We pray it out. We get in the Spirit. Am I praying in English and knowing exactly what I'm praying out so that I can just write down what's going to happen 10 years from now? No. No. By faith, I believe God's good enough to help me as I yield to the helper. And I pray things out by yielding to him in other tongues. And he makes a supply available. He stocks my life ahead of time. And when I get to that part of my life, I can say, oh, that's what we were praying about. So a wonderful nugget for you all, you don't have to know everything you're praying about. Inquiring minds always want to know, right? They always want to know. And if we're not careful, when we start to yield to the Spirit and start praying in other tongues, our mind will be like, oh, I wonder if that's for so-and-so. I wonder if we're praying about this. I wonder if you're going to be doing, I wonder about that. I wonder about this. I wonder about, and you've got to quiet that mind in order to be effective in yielding to him. Praise the Lord. So that we can flow with him and get his great purpose accomplished. I understand that a lot of people on this earth need God's power, but I don't know where God has for it to land tomorrow or the next day. But he does. He does. And so I need to make sure that I keep my mind quiet enough to yield to him and follow his direction. Praise God. So When we come together to pray, we want to stay, I like to say it this way, stay in neutral. Keeping my mind in neutral means I'm just focusing on my Spirit, focusing on him, and praying these things out. I am not trying to force God to move in a certain area because I'm concerned about that. Right? Our prayer life takes as much faith as any other part of our life. We have to believe in his goodness. Believe that he knows more than we do. And you might think, oh, of course he does. Yeah, but when we come to pray, somehow we decide, okay, well now, God, we're going to talk about what I want to talk about. I need you to, those kids, I need you to do something with them. No, what I need is God's best. What I need is God's supply, God's power. And so, Father, I come to you and I'm going to yield myself to your Spirit, the great helper who's going to help me pray out. These people are on my heart, Father, but I want to yield to you. Whatever you want prayed out, I'll pray. Whatever you have for this time together, I want to move with you. We're talking about effective prayer. Effective prayer. Is it wrong to come to God and just give your list of problems and situations? No, he told us, you know, if we have cares in this life, we're supposed to come and cast them. We're supposed to bring things before him. We are supposed to talk to him about things that are going on in our life, but that's not the only type of prayer we do. As we said yesterday, I mean, even unsaved people will pray when it comes to that. Right? Right? We want to make sure that we are mature enough to yield ourselves to what he has and what he wants. Let's look in Colossians 3, verse 1. Pastor Nancy actually quoted this last night. Our righteousness puts us in a position to be so effective. And that's one of the reasons he gave us our righteousness and left us here on earth. Once we got born again, we didn't just move to heaven and start enjoying things up there. We're here on this earth for a purpose. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a whole different subject, but you are dead. I am dead, and my life is now hid with Christ in God. I want to read this to you in the Message. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. I like that. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. What's that? His things, his Spirit, his people, his purpose, his plan for the earth. We're to pursue those things. Hallelujah. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. How? Yeah. Come on now. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. What's that? Don't just be natural. Live a natural, day-to-day, boring life. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. That's where the action is. And then it says this, see things from his perspective. We are invited to see things from his perspective, to enter into his realm, sit right next to Jesus, spend time in the spirit realm, and see things from his perspective. Again, this is not just something we watch on TV and say, oh, isn't that a nice idea? Wouldn't that be nice if it were true? It is true. And he's invited all of us to participate in these things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we come together to pray, we make power available if we do it effectively. This power is for a purpose. Another term for the power of God is simply the anointing. And if we could this morning, I'd like to look in Isaiah chapter 10. This might be all over the map this morning, but praise the Lord. Anyhow. And you can jump in, sweetie, anytime you want. Not gonna. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10, verse 27. Should be a familiar verse to many of us. The King James says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Making power available, making anointing available, allows people that don't know how to access that power on their own, it makes it available for them to walk into the pantry and just, oh, there it is. Oh, I didn't even know they had that. Wow. It makes power available. It makes anointing available. Anointing destroys yokes. We understand this. A yoke back in the Old Testament, right? It was that big wooden thing that went over an ox or, you know, a bull or whatever they used to plow. They'd yoke several times two animals together, right? They'd lock them in. And the enemy has worked for decades and decades on some people to lock them into their sin, their bondage, their problems, their tormented mind. And the Bible tells us that it's anointing, it's God's power that destroys yokes. And our prayer, cooperating with the great Holy Spirit, creates power, creates a supply of anointing for people who have been bound for their whole life to walk into. And have everything broken off in a moment of time. In a moment of time. We've got to renew our minds to the absolute amazing ability of the power of God. Sometimes, like I said with me, realizing, yeah, it is warm in other places, but since I've never experienced it, it really just doesn't seem real. And yes, all of us have experienced the power of God to some degree, but sometimes we need to meditate on those things. Sometimes I just think about how before I got born again, people were praying for me. And God started working him. I mean, started finding me, like showing up in my life. Like I'm going along and all of a sudden the power of God's there. And I look at my girlfriend and say, what is that? What just came on me? Because I'd grown up going to church my whole life and never knew I was supposed to be born again. Never heard that I needed to make him my Lord and Savior. If you asked me if I thought Jesus was the Son of God, I'd tell you yes. Absolutely. I'd heard that part. But I didn't know he was supposed to be my Lord, my Savior, that I, without him, was lost in sin, but with him could be made righteous. And somebody saw that I didn't see what I needed to see, and they were praying for me, that power would be made available in my life. And the next thing you know, everywhere I turn, I'm running into God. What do you mean you're running into God? People saying things. And, something's attached to the words they're telling me. To the point, God was so gracious. He kept showing up in my life. We're talking about how good God is. He kept showing up until I could no longer deny that he was who he was and I had to have him. Power is made available. And sometimes when we pray for other people, we pray like, oh God, I know they're terrible. And they're just, we go to God and talk to God about how that person would never really receive. Maybe not you. Maybe it's just me. We go to God looking at how it seems impossible that that person would ever see God. We've got to rework our thinking. We've got to go to God saying, God, you're so good. You are so good. You are so relentless in your love for mankind that you're gonna show up in their life. You're gonna keep showing up. You're gonna keep showing up. You're gonna send laborers across their path. Over and over and over until they finally get it. Yes. We've got to rework this. I don't go to God thinking about how it's impossible. Because I don't go to God looking at people. I go to God looking at him. Father, you are so good. You are so kind. You're so merciful. You sent your son because you loved the whole world. And so I'm going to yield to you today. I'm going to cooperate with you and make power available so that world, the whole world, guys, the whole world, the whole world, I'm not stopping with just my family. I'm not stopping with just the people in my town. We're after the whole world hearing about him, experiencing him. If they decide to deny him, that's their choice. But in my prayer time, it's the whole world. The whole world. Because he's that big and he's that good. He's that good. He sent Jesus for everyone. And I'm not going to limit him. The unlimitless God. By saying, oh, Lord, you know, you probably can't reach so-and-so. But, you know, they've just screwed up so many times. I shouldn't say that, sorry. They've messed up so many times. They've turned from you. They've rejected you. And I, you know, it's just, by the time you finish describing this person to the Lord, you've convinced yourself and him that I, all right. Maybe not that one. The Amplified of Isaiah 10:27. The last sentence says, "The yoke shall be destroyed." Look at this. "Because of fatness, which prevents it from going around your neck." This word anointing can actually be translated fat. Now, fat in today's society is just not a fun word. But fat in the Bible? Oh, we want more fat. I want more fat in my life. What is that? More anointing. More power. More power. That fatness, it breaks the, what is that? It's that animal got so thick, so strong that it busted the yoke. The yoke couldn't stay. It couldn't stay connected anymore because they had received so much fatness. Ha! Huh. Glory to God. Our prayer creates anointing power to help fatten some people up. Glory to God. So that they can receive all that God has. Hallelujah. Bondages, addictions, anything that binds can be broken in a moment with God's power. But we've got to learn to cooperate, make power available, and when someone comes up with what we would think are impossible situations, we've got to remember, our part of our prayer time is to stir ourselves up and realize, he's so big, he's so good, he's so powerful. And when they come up to receive, we're like, oh, God has so got this. Glory to God. There is so much power available for you. There is no way you can leave here without being delivered because God is so big. And we've already created a supply that God is so here. Hallelujah. The NIV of Isaiah 10:27 is probably my favorite. It says, "The yoke will be broken because you've grown so fat." The yoke will be broken because you've grown so fat. What, you've participated with so much anointing that no bondage can ever stay on you again. Glory to God. And our prayer time can create a supply for people to walk into this power, experience this power for themselves, and have bondages broken off as they walk into the fatness of God. Hallelujah. Will they have to maintain some things once they experience it? Absolutely. Of course. But my job is to cooperate with the Spirit. Make power available so that anyone who would, anyone who's willing, can step into that power. Just like I go into my pantry and partake of whatever I need at the moment. God is that good. He found me when I didn't know I needed to be found. He sought after me. He worked on me. The Holy Spirit, that precious Spirit, kept showing up in my life. And he'll do that for everyone. But power must be made available. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. So let's do some of this morning if we can. Praise God. We just want to yield to the Holy Spirit and believe. This takes faith, doesn't it? We're going to believe that our time of cooperation with Him is going to result in a spiritual supply that people are going to encounter.
Right.
Which people? The ones that need it.
The ones that need it.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And this is our great privilege, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Father, we're so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what we've heard today. Thank you for the words that we've heard that came from your word. Thank you, Father, for the revelation of the things that we've seen. We so treasure what you've delivered to us. And we thank you, Father, for this great privilege of prayer, for being able to come boldly to your throne. And to come, and Father, we ask you today for those who need that spiritual supply, for those who don't know you, for those who, like me and my wife, were resistant to the idea.
Right.
Thank you, Father, that you continue to to confront them with your presence, with your spirit. They might not understand what it is, but it's you.
Glory.
And so, Father, we thank you for all those in all of our lives that fit that that description. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us now go beyond what we would know or think to pray. And deal with what you would need dealt with this morning. Calasperia ture pela. Calastera popolotene sitici galato. Jana nomora fevra vacas tizedo cogedi da morede. Merevende. Merevende calat. Caratide lad. Carato de segura pedestica et soco ute. Cendo. Oh, yes. For the many. For the many. Caccia de galasica de gusta bad sitele. Basito le copra viso. Codanze per tu cusiti delita melete. Oh, mamma. Calasito loco, calasico loco dema, calasico dogo late zecate cobra basbile. Meritele cobra vileghe di gasto cobra basto saluti ge. Sejabat. Yeah, they're not too far. Pacales. Yes, we prepare.
che cantaste con grande vega zongo manse di
palati che lo cus palati che resti cada de ci pe figo risa de la asto corte se con la so cade ponca la so co ha 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 pacci bradino geno pola basito copa velocito tito con zendi calasi ha and the rods on the college campuses on the campuses on the campuses seco do volte bene yes 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 Chicago dosa ah oh mama 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 on the and the campuses on the campus sicada sedene 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 sedene
sedene and increase and increase
in the elementary and middle and high school Chicago bottle sets yes yes to go to say god dens and bambre go say god za tro bra bing bong zenta latte yeah parliament yeah parliament yeah parliament
I'm hearing you, Father. Yes, you obey to come into this valley, into this area in Fresno. But now, a new face, impartation for the new face, and impartation for all the ministers in this valley. But a new face, and rooms. The Lord open the doors being open in this. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. I'm just sick. Yeah, man. De to ka me ta ko now. The miracles. Before those things happen. You have to enter into a new phase. Impartation to a new whoa, glory. Yaka. Beato. Yeah, to kosa. It's impartation for the new phase. Okoso. Eta ya ko ki ta ika then gandata. Then the plan of God. Then the wokoso. Yeka de bahaya. Then the pursuit of that plan. Okatiste understanding and the gate and the gosha and the tita and the people and the opening. Oh ho ho, the doors of a new era in this valley, in this place. Ekaso kudosoto. Agadasata said, aha, oho, maat kese, yaso kotoso, akatisika, yakotos, yakoto, aha, aha, ha, oho, yeah, oho.
And that anointing that was taught this morning, that anointing will come upon in this new phase. A greater anointing, a greater flow. Ah, the glory. Shatoko. Yakato. And it's affecting. It will affect. It will be effective. Not only in this place, but on all around this valley. All around the churches in this valley. As will flow in this word and spirit era. Now the doors are open. Mm-hmm. Yeah, impartation need to be made. Ha ho ho. Ah, ha, oh my God, hallelujah. Oh glory, hallelujah. Ah, tokoseke. Yeah, oh yeah. And the angels are waiting for this time, for this very hour. As yeah, that tokosoto. Aha. Oh. Yeah. It needed to be done. Yes, Father. It needed to be done. Yes, Father. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, haha. Yeah. Oh.
We trust you've enjoyed this message. Visit us at DufresneMinistries.org to learn of our upcoming meetings, share your testimony, become a partner, or visit our online store. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Dufresne Ministries.